This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, the Republican presidential nominee list just keeps on growing. You're a nominee, and you're a nominee, and you're a nominee. Everybody gets to be a nominee. After what we saw in 2016 with, I believe, 17 different candidates that we had that kind of divided everybody enough that it set up a run for Donald Trump to make his way into the White House. Former Vice President Mike Pence filed paperwork yesterday declaring his campaign for president in 2024, setting up a challenge with Donald Trump and the rest of the presidential nominees. There's a long ways to go in this still. This is one of those times where we can really get caught up and overanalyzing and saying, oh, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? But, you know, with what we're talking about, I'm going to dive into here. It's not an overanalyzation. It's just, here's how we could possibly see this play out. I'll let you go first on this, Brian. You think the more options that we can get into the primary, the better?
Yeah, I do. Now, I know that there is a huge fanatical base for Donald Trump. I mean, there's no doubt about that. We all know that. And I understand you find somebody that appeals to you and feels speaks for you. I respect that completely. I totally do. I am not one. I've never been a fan, but mine goes long before politics, but it stayed through there.
Right.
It's a personality thing. It's not a job performance thing.
Policy thing.
All right. And that weighs very heavy for me. So I've needed an alternative.
That's a big distinction to make, too. I think that's important.
It's a huge distinction to make.
Yeah.
My decision is not based on his policies or politics. Mm-hmm. It's on his humanness. And I can't tolerate that. I can't stand it as an example. And I don't want it out of my leader. I would love to have somebody who maybe had some of the ideas, but could express them in a different way.
Right.
And I know for some that's, hey, big deal. You want the job done. I need more than that.
Right.
Okay, so I needed some other options. I don't have a home politically. I am not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. I grew up in a Republican home, but then I just kind of got drifted away from really finding that anybody really spoke for me other than myself. So I look at candidate by candidate. I need other options. The last thing we can have, and we as a nation have said it all along, God, we've got to have more choices. It can't come down to these two. Well, how can we say that? And then as more people jump into the ring, say, well, this is a bad thing. We need to have more choices. And my thought is, the more we see other options, and I know one of the mindsets is the more people that jump in, the more power that it's going to have and the more likelihood that Donald Trump would end up being the Republican nominee because his faction is so strong, then you're splitting up what isn't his faction into all of these smaller groups.
Right.
What I would think would be what the other candidates and what those who don't want Trump as the representative of the Republican Party would do would be to hope to see what these people do who get thrown out there. Everyone's going to get a little following.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they're going to get, but there may be one or two that as this progresses, takes off and becomes more of these are the front runners.
Right.
And then the others who fall in behind could then dive in and say, look, I'm going to give up running, but I endorse this person.
Right.
And you may find that person then who, because of everybody else and dividing away from him, find somebody they can all agree with as an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it could create a very interesting thing, but to me, a key of it is getting everybody on stage and debating, which Donald Trump has said he won't do. He more than likely won't, and he would pass on those.
That's going to hurt him if he does that.
But will it?
Because
it's one of those, like in court, if you don't testify, you can't get strung up in your own words, which I think could happen to him if he got on a stage with all of these other people.
I think why he captured so many people back in 2016 was that he was different. He spoke in a different way than what we're used to seeing from politicians. And I think many people, myself included, felt it as a he didn't talk down to us. He just said it how he saw it.
Oh,
that was refreshing in ways.
It depends on what side you're on. It shouldn't be if you're not with him. him, you're a problem.
Correct. And that's something I've had an issue with him about, yes, is extending that olive branch, right? And saying, hey, you know, we want to work together on this. And he's not good at that. But the dose of the, like we've talked a lot about it, the drain the swamp resonated in a big way with me, because I think we've got issues with almost every politician that's in D.C.
Yeah, but you can't drain it and fill it with more swamp creatures.
Correct.
And correct, the creatures he filled it with were pretty toxic.
Well, and it's just doing it the same thing again, and it's been in this. But you look at Trump, and he's got this group of always Trumpers. I mean, he's got this group of this base.
He can do no wrong.
He can do no wrong because of the job that he did in office. And some of the people who are always going to be Trumpers don't give a damn about, you know, paying somebody money not to talk about an affair. There's people who just don't care about that, because when he was in office, we had gas. It was a dollar a gallon, $1.86, I believe, right at the end
weren't
of his term.
Weren't people complaining about that, though, in the industry, that it was too cheap and weren't making money?
No, it was good, because we were, drilling here, and it was all American. So even though we had such a surplus of it, it was here, and the surplus that we had was the stuff that we would usually be buying. So Biden comes in and shuts this drilling down here in the States, and so now the prices go up, and the money's going overseas for a lot of this. But you're talking about the economy. It was one of the strongest economies we've had in a very long time in terms of the unemployment rate, in terms of the average wage that people were making, in terms of the gas prices that people were looking at as well. So there's a lot of those things, and I think this is what the opposition doesn't understand, what the Democrats don't understand, is that there are people who just don't give a damn. So that CNN town hall didn't ask him about any of the stuff that truly does matter to the Republican Party.
Because it was picked.
What do you mean?
The people in the audience.
No, the questions that were asked to Donald Trump, it was about the scandals. It was about, why did you say this? It was about this stuff. It wasn't about, okay, hey, Ron DeSantis just came out and said that he wants an abortion ban after 6 weeks. You were in that same group, and now you're differentiating yourself, and you're taking more of a pro-choice stand. Why is that? It wasn't the core values that were asked about, Donald Trump. Like, why did you switch sides on this? Why are you doing this? Like, that's the stuff. If you want to stop Donald Trump, ask him about his policies and why he's changed on it. Because there's people, his base just doesn't give a damn about what he's done in the bedroom, who he's paid money to, and any of that. There's just a group that does not care about that. So ask him why fundamentally he's changed his opinion on X, Y, or Z.
Have you not heard him be interviewed when he's asked something that he doesn't want to answer?
Oh, yeah.
Or I mean, he will twist it and turn it immediately. Yeah, those would be great questions,
right,
but he's not going to answer them.
But that's what people, we realize, we've seen politicians do this forever. Make him do that. Make him change it into X, Y, or Z. Make him avoid the question, at least. Because we're not dumb. The majority of people are not dumb out there. If you see, when we're talking and we're talking politicians, and they try and skirt an answer, we know it. People know, oh, he didn't answer that at all.
No, but there's too many people who don't care.
No, but that's where they do care, about the actual policy. Because I believe that the majority of the always Trumpers are not just his big inflated ego and the funny stuff that he says and the way that he talks to people. At the base of all of that, is the policy that he put in place when he was in office and the things that he did in office. Come and ask him why our spending went up so much when he was in office, and now he's saying they got to cut the spending for the Democrats. Like, ask him those things. Ask him the things that get the core base thinking about the policy-wise. And then, okay, well, how does that line up with X, Y, or Z? Like, that's where you're going to beat Donald Trump, is those type of things. And if he goes to the personal attacks, we've all seen it. But if he comes and says this, and Chris Christie goes, well, here's why we need to cut the spending and why this wouldn't happen under my administration, people are going to go, oh, that makes a lot of sense. If you can't pin him down to an answer and then the other candidates answer it, that's the only way that you're going to go about this. But with this such a big field, I'm curious to see how it comes out, because you've got Pence, who some people in the advisors to Mike Pence see him as the only traditional Reagan-style type of conservative. He is very traditional in that way. I think he would destroy Donald Trump in a debate because he's got a lot of knowledge from behind the scenes that nobody else has, right? I mean, he does, and vice versa. You know, Trump's got dirt on him as well. So that would be an interesting dynamic to see a former VP and president campaigning against each other. And then you sprinkle in the Ron DeSantis, who Trump is obviously most threatened by, with the Ron DeSanctimonious and all that BS that he's been throwing out there. And then you've got a guy like Chris Christie. And is a guy like Chris Christie going to be able to stand out enough to steal some of those people away? Because a lot of people like you, Brian, who were never Trumpers, but have a lot of the same policy beliefs as what the traditional Republican Party is about, are going to navigate towards Chris Christie. He's not in your face. He's kind of the anti-Trump when it comes to a lot of the stuff.
To me, he cuts out the BS.
Right. And so that's where a lot of people are going to go
there. It's not a show.
Is Chris Christie going to get enough from the DeSantis or Donald Trump crowd to come over there? That's what I'm curious about. Is he going to be able to, like, Chris Christie? His first challenge is going to have to be to beat Ron DeSantis. That's the first challenge for Chris Christie to move up in this field. And then secondly, if Chris Christie runs against Donald Trump, I don't know how that shapes up, because you got polar opposites in terms of personality that come out on that. But the more options out there, the more people are going to navigate to their base of this or that, I want DeSantis, and now he's out now, so I don't know what, you know, I guess I'll vote for Trump again, or hey, I wanted Trump, but he's out, so I don't know. And it's that middle ground of where do they go if it comes down to a DeSantis-Trump type of thing. The more people in there, the less votes everybody's going to get. And whoever has the strongest base from the get-go has the best likelihood of winning that. And as we've seen time and time again, Trump does have the strongest base right now. And the more spread out the rest of those voters get, the less likely somebody's going to be able to unseat Donald Trump from the GOP nomination.
I think the sooner as people find somebody that they can believe in, aside from him, they could rally around it. Nobody is on the fence about Trump. There is nobody who's leaning one way or the other. They're right there.
Right. Well,
you know, I really don't know that he's going to – he's got who he's got, and I don't think he's going to gain anybody, and I don't think he's going to lose anybody.
I don't know, but I'm on that fence. If he runs again against Joe Biden, I can't vote for Joe Biden with my conscience. I can't. I can't vote for the policies that he would put back into office. So I think there are some of us out there.
I can't vote for either of them.
And maybe this is the year we all sit out. We'll try it again in 2024.
There are people out there.
Yeah.
And we've just got to be able to get them bust through. We got to get through this period, right, again, of these two.
And why I think
it's got to move on.
Why I think it's not a great thing that so many candidates are jumping in this year. You got to almost have just two rivals. You almost got to make it a DeSantis-Trump thing.
Can't be those.
For a DeSantis-Trump for this year, and then open it back up in 20, you know, if DeSantis won or whatever, then open it back up after a couple of years so that Trump side of the party starts to fall off. And it certainly will. Don't get me wrong. It will. But I don't know if you can have that happen this year with this many people in the field.
Yeah, I'm just one of the opinion that I think Trump and DeSantis are very similar. So, yeah. I mean, for somebody, what didn't appeal to me about Trump doesn't appeal to me about DeSantis.
Right.
It's the same type of thing. So I need an alternative to that type of person.
Right.
That's
right.
Me.
No,
that's
just
me.
Thoughts on that.
Totally understand. Again, I respect completely the appeal that those who believe in these candidates have. And I know they speak to you, and I understand that, and I respect that completely.
For sure. No,
I'm just not there.
No, these conversations are what need to happen. Send the thoughts in on that. Text us 888-530-0043. A little bit of a breaking news here coming out of the golf world, Brian. The PGA Tour, the LIV Golf, and the DP World Tour announce a merger to unify the game of golf.
What?
PGA, LIV, and the DP World Tour announce a merger that is coming out. So let's get a break. We'll come back with more on this. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Hey, 27 the time. Adam Carriker going to join us former first-round draft pick for the St. Louis Rams. Yeah, back when they were the St. Louis Rams. And he's putting together a youth camp coming up this later in June over at the Loveland Sports Complex. So we're going to talk with him a little bit, see if he's got a couple of stories to tell. I met him. He was in studio yesterday with the whole show.
Oh, really?
He's not able to come in studio today this early in the morning, but holy crap, dude. He looks like
he's a large man.
Oh, my God. He looks like he could still be out there, man.
Was Brady scared?
Yeah, it sounded like it on air a little bit. Angel, was Brady a little worried for his well-being? Like he knew he couldn't ask him anything wrong?
Yeah, there was a little, you know, he was kind of sinking in his chair almost voluntarily. No, he took up a lot of space in the studio there.
Yeah, big old dude. But we're going to talk with him. Let's go to the J9 Agency's text line. Going back to the GOP commentary that we had going on there.
Yes.
Wrapping insurance guy said, I think we need an age limit. If you're within 4 years of statistical mortality, you're out of the running for president. He continues, unfortunately, the Trump-Hillary-Biden era is an era of popularity and extremes. We need a Calvin Coolidge in this divisive age. We were having this conversation on my parents' patio over the weekend about this, and I just like asking the questions of where people are at, and where the kind of thing, and I just did a quick straw poll of where they were at in DeSantis or Trump, and I'm not going to talk about that, but I'm just curious. And then I was like, okay, we got into videos and impressions, and we're watching Caliendo and watching all this, and it led into the military hype video. We're just jumping all over the place on the YouTube. And I asked my brother, I'm like, have you ever watched any of Ronald Reagan stuff? He's like, well, no. And so I put it on, and he goes, that guy seems like what's an FCC term that I can use? A cool dude, a good dude, like a good leader, a bad mamma jamma. I'm showing him the 2 months after he gets assassinated when he's talking in Berlin and the balloon pops, and he just missed me, and he just keeps talking, right, and just stuff like that. And they called him the great communicator. We need a great communicator. We need somebody who can talk to us through these times and not be so divisive and crack that little wry smile. I think we need another Reagan. I mean, he turned California red for goodness sake. And I don't care what party it comes from. We need somebody like that where it just wins over the entire country. You go back and look at the 1984 Electoral College map. It's insane. You wouldn't believe that this is still the same country that was in 1984.
It doesn't seem like anybody's trying to win anybody over anymore.
They're just trying to win.
They're just, it's when you come out and it's, okay, you're either with me or you're against me.
Right.
And to me, it used to be that you would try to get those people who were against you to feel like you were still governing for them, like you still cared about them and they mattered. Where now, if I don't agree with you, I'm the other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the other, and you're doing everything you can to try to take me down, and you're calling me stupid and dumb and insult me to start with, so there's no way in hell I'm ever going to like you.
Right.
So let's quit insulting the ones who disagree with us and try to get them to agree.
No, 100%. I've been shocked at how much Biden has fallen into that as well at times.
Oh, he definitely has.
I have been shocked by that.
There's no doubt he's gone into some of that. He's still...
Did you see him fall?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, and I talked about that.
On Friday,
gone.
Yeah.
That was down at the Air Force Academy where he took a tumble, tripped over a black sandbag. But I did like, this was one time I giggled at Donald Trump was when he was giving a speech and they told him that Joe had fallen.
Yeah.
And he stopped. He said, really? He fell? And they, where? And they tell him, well, I hope he's okay. He said, those things can be kind of dangerous. Sometimes when you're going down a ramp, you got to tippy toe. He said, you got to watch
it so softly.
He's referring to the time when he was seen doing these little tippy toes down there, and he addressed that, and that was funny. I'll give that was funny. It was.
The video was kind of funny of Joe falling. I just like
no, it's just
I
it's,
like that humor, though. If anybody falls, I'm going to laugh at it.
It's like when it snows on Halloween, you think it does every Halloween. Joe's actually only fell like 4 times. All right, but it seems like it's every week.
But the amount of times where he's turned and tried to shake nobody's hand, if you just
and
look at
called out for dead people in the crowd. I know. All right,
Jackie,
there's been moments.
Jackie,
yes. Yes.
Come on, man.
You put
first
him and
do the
Donald
thing
together, and this has been a rough stretch.
It has. 832. It's like going from Case Keenum to Brock Osweiler to Joe Flacco to 8:32. It's Good Morning NoCo.
Now Russell.
Before the time, let's talk about something that's going to bring everybody together, and that's the American bullfighting coming up at the Greeley Stampede.
What an incredible night of action. If you have not gone and watched the bullfighting before,
that's Saturday afternoon, man. Kevin Rich puts this thing on.
Gonna say,
was talking with Kevin Rich over the weekend. Roper is the back-to-back champ here in
World
Greeley.
World champion.
Oh, he is fantastic. This is my favorite event to go to. And I know we've had some people ask for us to broadcast it. Are you broadcasting? I'm like, I'm not, because I'm going to watch and be a fan.
That's
of this
right.
one. I'm going to be a fan. It is an absolute blast. And right now I got two box level seats.
Ooh.
For the American bullfighting on Saturday, July 1st. It's Saturday, July 1st at 1 p.m. Be caller number 5 right now. 970-353-1310. 970-353-1310. These tickets, thanks to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Jerry Lemons and the crew over there, appreciate them. 970-353-1310. Caller number 5. Two tickets to the American bullfighting. Go see Kevin Rich, Roper Rich, Ryder Rich, the whole Rich family as they put this on. It's a lot of fun, and when you do win it, you're going to have to pick it up at 3780 West 10th Street. Okay, 3780 West 10th Street. Come and check out the
Angel will remind you.
New office, of course. Yeah, Angel will remind you. Adam Carriker going to be joining us coming up in just a moment here. Going to talk about his football camp coming up with Greg Minuski and company right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Hey, 41 the time. Welcome back into the Aloe Fiber Studios. Hi, I'm Tanner Schwint. That's Brian Gary.
Hello.
And we're joined by former first-round draft pick Adam Carriker, who joins us now to talk about his football camp coming up, the alumni camp, and Carriker Chronicles presenting this camp coming up this June 28th and 29th. Adam, thanks so much for joining us this morning, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Good to have you, man. Welcome to the show, and tell us a bit about, what made you want to start doing these camps, these football camps, and trying to get people a head start or get them, more down with the fundamentals and what football is all about. Where does this passion come from, Adam?
Yeah, there was a couple of thoughts behind it. And so it was originally kind of Josh Davis's idea. Josh and I are doing the camp together. But it was kind of one of those things, a couple of things. Number one, we want to do something with, in, and for the community of Northern Colorado. And I think anytime you can do something that helps kids and something that kind of brings people together and brings a community together, first and foremost, I think that's awesome. We love to bring people together, especially in a positive way. Obviously, the fundamentals of football and trying to get better in football, learning from guys who have coached, are coaching at a high level and have coached at a high level, played at a high level, I think also is just a cool experience. And I had a couple opportunities to do that in the area where I grew up in baseball. I personally never had that in football growing up. Mm-hmm. So it's something we wanted to offer the youth, the K-12 aspiring football players here in Northern Colorado.
Well, and I think it's so cool, too, because, a lot of these communities here in Northern Colorado, I grew up here, we were a small town, but it was, I always say that we were a drinking town with a football problem out there in Kersey, because that was life. Like, when those Friday night lights were on, that was life. People took it so seriously, and we would go to these camps and stuff, man, but the caliber of teaching that's going to be going on with yourself out there, I know Greg Minuski, the linebacker coach for the Denver Broncos, is going to be out there.
Amon Green, one of the all-time greats.
I mean, this is top-tier stuff, man. So you've really assembled, an all-star lineup of people who are going to be giving some instructions to the youth.
Yeah, and that's something we were excited about. And when Josh asked me to be more involved this year, this is the third year of the camp, and my first couple years, honestly, I would coach my station. I'd hang out with the kids. But then Josh was basically the one putting it on with the help of some other folks here and there. And he's like, hey, man, you want to be more involved? And I was like, man, let's kind of try to step it up a notch every year that we do this. So when you mentioned some of those names, like Greg Minuski, newly hired linebackers coach by the Broncos, like I've never seen an active NFL coach help with a camp like this.
No.
We have, you know, Dave McLuhan, Jacksonville Jaguars scout. I've never seen an active NFL scout help with stuff like this. So, and then we tried to get former Broncos involved. So we've actually got Kenny Walker, who's one of only five players in the history of the NFL who is legally deaf to play in the NFL. You got Ralph Tamm, 12-year NFL vet, former Broncos Super Bowl champ, and a bunch of cool guys, a lot of guys who played Division I ball and won awards at D1 ball. And I just spoke with CSU yesterday, and we're going to be able to have like six of their players as well, guys who are starters for them. So
Wow. It's
something that we're excited about. We think it's going to be a lot of fun and kind of a unique opportunity for the kids, I think.
It really is. And I know from, sending my kids, as they were growing up to camps, the memories that they got from that coming back. And I swore the camp T-shirt lasted for like 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
That the kids, my son wore proudly when he got to go to whether a basketball camp or a football camp. But, you say that you've been doing this now, for a couple years. Is that right, Adam?
Yeah, this will be year three of the camp. The first year I'm a little bit more directly involved with putting it on.
Have you, in those couple of years then, is it rewarding to sit and watch, a kid come in who's got the drive and all that and just needs to sharpen up on this or that, and you can see over a couple days of camp a great improvement in a kid? Do you get some of those moments, cherish them? And have you ever heard back from a kid over the last couple of years who said, wow, that really helped me out the following season or anything?
Yeah, that's actually one of the funnest things. And it depends on the age group, because this is K through 12, and we divide the kids up amongst their own ages, so they're competing with and against kids their own age. With the younger kids, honestly, it's fun to watch them just learn how to get in the proper stance over the course of a couple days. And then, for the middle school kids, they're kind of, let's be honest, it's that awkward transition phase. I got a couple of kids in that phase right now.
Yep.
And for me, it's like, hey, don't focus on trying to look cool. Why don't you go out and play, try to play really well, because that actually is cool. So it's kind of getting them mentally focused on certain things that they probably know how to do, but being less distracted. And then in high school, a lot of those kids want to, how good am I? I'm really good, and this kid thinks they're really good. So let's have some fun and compete with each other and make each other better and find out just where you're at and how we can help you get even better based on what you're doing. And it's interesting when you talk about, somebody mentioning a previous camp or bringing that up to me. One of the things after the first year of the camp going into year two, it's kind of like, I don't know what I expected. It's almost like I thought people were going to forget or something, that the camp's going to be coming back. But once March hit, April hit, that following year going into year two, people were like, well, when's your camp coming back? And it wasn't even my camp. It was Josh's camp. I just helped. And like, when's the camp coming back? And who's going to be there this year? And, I really had fun doing this or that the previous year. And I was kind of like, all right, it stuck with you guys. So that's awesome. So that was one of the coolest things for me. Personally, to hear from kids and parents who had kind of watched the camp the year before, too.
You know what I think is wonderful in your description that you just talked about there, Adam? If you were a parent or somebody are wondering, about sending your kid to this camp, the way you just described recognizing different age groups and what those youth need in order for motivation or what success is out of one of these camps speaks volumes. Because when you're taking an age group that's as large and diverse as you're talking about, it is a different style with each of those ages, and that's just very impressive the way you discuss that, Adam.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I have six kids myself. None of them are in high school just yet, but I've got all the way from pre-K up to eighth
grade. Good Lord, you guys should get a board game, Adam.
My goodness. That's a new one. I've never heard we should get a board game. I like that one. I'm going to remember that. Oh, man, that was good. So I experienced it, honestly, K through, pre-K. She's going to be in kindergarten next year, George. She's very excited. But all the way up through eighth grade on a daily occurrence in my life. And, with high school kids, I remember my high school days pretty well. I'm still a younger dude, so it wasn't all that long ago. So I think it just kind of helps relate when you're used to seeing it and being a little younger on my own right. And Josh is a little bit younger. I think that helps us relate to the high school kids, too.
Yeah, we're talking with Adam Carriker. He's got the Alumni Camp and Carriker Chronicles presenting the 2023 Greg Minuski Football Camp coming to the Loveland Sports Park. Big thanks to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies jumping in and being a sponsor of this as well. Now, Adam was a graduate of University of Nebraska. Did you reach out and try and get some buffs up here, man? Was there anything like that? You want some of that CU? You want some Prime, Coach Prime up here now?
So I would love to have Coach Prime, honestly, first and foremost, anywhere he goes. Let's be honest, people are going to follow. Plus, he's one of the all-time greats, probably the greatest DB in the history of the NFL. So who wouldn't love to have a guy like that? I'm also trying to get him on my show for an interview. But he seems to be a little busy these days, I guess.
Driving his F-650 or whatever it is.
Yeah. Dude, I know, right?
Dude, there's no way. I drive an F-150. I don't like taking it to Boulder.
No,
there's no way he's parking
big,
that thing anywhere.
That's an FU-650.
Yeah, that is. That is for sure. But hard feelings against the Buffs anymore, man?
No. So actually, Dave McLuhan won a national title in 1990, as I'm sure you know, with the Buffs.
Yeah.
And then I'm chatting with another former Buff. I reached out to him yesterday. He's going to try to make it work. He's also a former Bronco, won a Super Bowl championship in his own right. And he's actually a guy that I went against a ton, Tyler Palumbis.
Oh, yeah.
Went against him when he was at CU. I was at Nebraska, and then we were in D.C. together. And so he's going to see if he can't make it work. That's not confirmed just yet. But, we've reached out to a couple of them. And to be honest with you, Brady asked me yesterday, he goes, dude, would you be willing to talk about the Buffs? I'm like, everybody wants to talk about the Buffs right now with Dion. Of course I will.
No, and I know when you're talking about Dave McLuhan, I've got a chance to meet Dave a number of times. His wife, Mindy, is the Loveland Chamber of Commerce president and CEO. So I've got a chance to meet Dave, and you talk about a football mind. It's going to be phenomenal. And this camp is going to be awesome, June 28th and 29th. Adam, what blows me away is that with this all-star lineup that you've assembled, it's still only $125 to send your kids there. And when you look at the price of a lot of these youth camps anymore, I mean, they're pricing out the average American family, $125 for 2 days worth of camp.
That.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal, man.
Well, yeah, so that was the idea. So when I was chatting with Josh, obviously, you try to raise the bar every year, so costs increase. And so I'm like, hey, man, what do you want to charge? He goes, $125. Like, that just came right out of his mouth. And I'm like, okay, do you want to charge more? I feel like we could charge more. And his exact response, and I was just feeling him out because I was fine with $125. His exact response was, he's like, I want everybody to be able to come to this camp within reason. He's like, I don't want to price anybody out. And that was his exact response without hesitation. The conversation literally lasted that long. It was about 10 seconds. And so it's been that same price ever since.
No, I love that.
Well, and I'm sure that the sponsorship opportunities are still there. But OCR, Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies, they're part of our family here on KFKA. But they really do care about the youth in Northern Colorado. And as they advance into the high school or whatever age that they're at, OCR has seen probably some of these kids when those injuries do happen. So those sponsors who help make this happen are a huge part of it.
Oh, absolutely. Love OCR. Actually, Dr. Anderson, Dr. Tom Anderson, for those who know him, he does a phenomenal job over there. There's a lot of good doctors over there. I give, Tom a shout out because we're friends. He's a good doctor. And I actually, if my kids get sick, I take him. If I've got an issue with my knee and I need a surgery, I take him. I actually discovered I have AFib of the heart a year and a half ago. He's the one that discovered it. Like, he's just a good dude, a good doctor, and just a well-rounded doctor as well. Like, I can literally be like, hey, man, what do you think about this? And he's either going to know the answer or he's going to know the doctor that knows the answer. So I wanted to give him a shout-out, too.
No question. And is the place to register still alumnicap.com?
Yep, alumnicap.com is where you can register.
Sounds great. Adam, we really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for putting this all together, and thanks for helping out our youth. We really appreciate it, my friend.
Well, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it, fellas.
No, it's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Adam Carriker there, the former first-round draft pick by the St. Louis Rams. Great conversation there, and big thanks to OCR for getting this set up as well. And
amen to that.
You're
going to
hear more about this alumni camp, football camp that's coming up on the station as we are part of this camp as well. So very excited about all of that coming through. 8:54 the time. Let's switch gears and get the latest in the nerd world. Here's Mike Kilpatrick. one more hour. Angel, come on back there. That's the first yawn I've seen from Angel back there.
Oh, wow. I might have spread it to him. I had one going pretty heavy during that commercial break.
I said a shot of espresso, so I felt them coming on, so I got rid of those.
Hey,
in a hurry.
We decided last time you had one of those.
Oh, yeah.
You weren't going to be allowed
back,
to have
baby.
One anymore.
Yeah, but nobody controls this.
You will crash later.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
For sure. Coming up in the fourth and final hour, we're going to dive more into the PGA Tour merging with the LIV Golf.
To me and to people on the tour, there are comments that are coming out.
Shock from everybody because
there was no bleeping way was what some of the players have been quoted as saying.
After the stuff that
they had to get Rory and Phil and all these people
well,
to be
PGA
mad at each other.
The PGA commissioner, I can't
Jay
think of his
Monahan.
Name. Yeah, Jay Monahan was talking about the money, that this was where it came from, and this, and this, and now they've caved. They caved.
But it's
they
not
caved
like they were
so
ever
quick.
Threatened
no.
ratings-wise or anything. Nobody was really paying attention to the other. That's why this is surprising.
I'm wondering if they were seeing something that we weren't. I'm wondering if they were seeing something either in the ratings and in the golfers maybe considering it
I
more.
Think after seeing how well those players still play.
Right.
You know, and
yeah.
how strong
because
the field could be.
They get to come back and
together.
Still play the.
They got the money and they're getting to do what.
In the majors. You yeah. know, that's the main thing. So we'll talk more about that.
Weird.
PGA caved quickly. We're also going to dive into Backpage News. On the other side, Brian will take us back into the entertainment world, give us a couple laughs along the way, and keep sending those responses in. Android or iPhone, and why? Why do you have the phone that you have? Had some great good discussion about this so far today. Keep those responses coming in. It's Good Morning NoCo, presented by Air Solutions on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA.